Jan in Santa Cruz. I think Paul is up next. Jan, you're on KSCO.
Hi. First of all, I would love, I'm honored to be speaking to the great, great grand cousin of some dude that hung out with George Washington.
Truly. Thank you.
It's truly amazing. It is. And I've heard a lot of different places. You lived in Plymouth, Massachusetts, Boston, Kansas, but you were homeless in San Francisco, but you weren't sure. And then it's very confusing. I do want to know where you originally hailed from, because I know it's not Santa Cruz. But I do want to talk about Florida. That was interesting. You mentioned Florida quite a bit. And Florida, the city governments of Florida, both Orlando, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Tampa, have all had issues with Food Not Bombs, and ironically enough, have also had major issues with the hacker group Anonymous and Commander X. My second question would be, what is your affiliation with them, and do you consider yourself a terrorist organization? My next part would be, my third question.
What kind of a question?
I love that question.
Oh, you
love
Mike? It's
it's beautiful.
No, it's a great question.
So she's been right on the mark several times.
I am right on the mark.
Okay, Jan, now, you're smart enough to be a host on KSCO. Yeah.
Aren't I? Uh-huh. So the third thing is, you brought up the survey, and someone said it is unbelievable, and it indeed is unbelievable. Because what cities have found is that the people conducting the survey are actually, and like Mr. McHenry so kindly went out and helped with the survey, the people conducting these surveys are the people who will receive the funds in the social services industry from how many people they count. So they have found that those surveys are so far off that cities are now picking up that survey themselves, realizing that it's, you know, the dog and the tail and the wagging and all of that. So now cities are saying, wait a minute, these surveys aren't accurate. We need to start doing this ourselves. So that's my answer to that little thing right there. And if you look it up, you will find that to be the truth. The
last thing is,
as much as I would love to attend your rat-infested Hep A festival at the post office.
What a terrible thing to say.
Yeah. Here's the deal. We have a major Hep A outbreak. We are the second largest Hep A outbreak city in the state of California. We absolutely cannot keep people on the streets. It is inhuman. It is inhumane to have people on the streets. So my last question, my first was, where do you originally hail from? My second one was, what is your affiliation with Anonymous and Commander X? And we want to know why you seem to follow along with these people terrorizing city governments. And my third one is, I understand that we should get people off the streets. We absolutely have to get people housed. We have to take care of our mentally ill. We have to stop this cycle. How is feeding people in front of the post office in a place where we know Hep A, which is highly infectious and spreading in our city, and the rats at the post office are so bad, how is that helping anyone up off the street? What I see is a very egotistical show going on your behalf for 2 hours, twice a week, with no one actually getting lifted up off the street. Every bit of our funds should be going towards housing these people and housing the people from our city.
Well, thank you. So,
please feel free to speak your mind here.
That's beautiful. Group of questions. So first of all, I did have my first birthday here.
That does not answer my question.
Well,
came here on vacation for your first birthday is not the answer. I want to know where
because
you're
my grandparents
from.
Lived here. And my grandfather retired as chief naturalist from Yosemite National Park to here. And that's why.
Not answering.
So where I grew up was in national parks, although I spent much of my life in and out of Santa Cruz. But I lived at the Grand Canyon. I lived at Big Bend. I lived at Everglades. I've lived here on and off for much of my life. My grandparents, you know, like I say, retired to here from Yosemite, and we move as National Park Service families every 2 years. So my grandfather is National Park Service. My father was, I was. So that's where I hail from. Then my mother's side of the family comes from Boston and Cape Cod. So that's why I happen to be living there. And why I went to art school and owned an ad agency in Boston. So that's that. Mm-hmm. And but I was born in Frankfurt, West Germany, and my father was in the 3rd Armored Division with Elvis Presley at that time. And so, and I, my family's been, you know, signed the Constitution and things like that. So I've got some connection to the United States.
Hey, I love that. Yeah.
So
the Constitution is awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, so and then, you know, my and my grandmother that was from here, her uncle shot and killed Jesse James.
Oh, wait, your
Jesse
grandmother
James.
Was from here?
Came here with my... yeah, our family has not been here for generations.
We do have to move on.
But anyway, so I want to go on to the, right. the issue
okay.
of...
Enough with the I'm from around here.
Yeah,
okay?
So... Enough. Yeah,
move on.
I mean, I've been in and out of here my whole life.
So, this is, but before we move on here, Jan, in Santa Cruz, I have a question for you. Who are you really?
What do you mean?
No, really. Have you called the station very much? I mean, if you have...
No,
I mean, that's
no,
amazing.
Well, I've called every once in a while.
Uh-huh. And how long have you been listening to the station? How did you discover us?
I actually didn't have a television in my 20s in Santa Cruz.
Uh-huh.
And I listened to your station all the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay, you're a very articulate caller, and you have a lot of energy, so...
yeah, there's a lot of smarter people that listen to your station.
Well, that's by design,
yeah,
but, you know, and some people have
true.
Accused us of getting real lax on that. We haven't been enforcing it very much because some pretty stupid... sounding people have gotten through on some of our talk shows.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Last hour has been a little painful, but, you know, we're moving on.
Thank you. And then we're going to move on now to Paul in Santa Cruz.
Are we going to let him answer her charges of the...
I just want to move on. Huh? Do you want to answer...
I mean, she was making some pretty serious allegations.
Oh, well, first of all, I mean, as far...
Can you do it pretty quick?
Yeah.
I don't want...
I mean, we... it's clear that we are... Their solutions to hepatitis A crisis and food not bombs played a huge role in helping. Actually, now there's fortunately a downturn in those cases. We've played a very concerted effort in that with the county health department. And so we're aware that we've made huge progress on that. And we've
what have you done to help that?
We are actually involved in both providing a clinic to vaccinations, and we have...
you guys vaccinate? Out of your van in front of the post office?
No, the county health department works with us, and they send nurses there. Also, we were able to lobby successfully to get hand washing stations throughout downtown that were not there, and we provide the first hand washing station ourselves. So every single person that comes in line can wash their hands with bacterial killing soap and does so at our urging. And so we've been at the forefront of, because these are our family, our friends that are eating with us. We do not want them to have hepatitis A.
Cool.
And so anyway, that's on that. Issues and the other, all the, I do not know Commander X, although I was quite appreciative that he did a campaign in my behalf and in the behalf of Food Not Bombs in Orlando. That was fantastic. I thought it was brilliant. Certainly applaud his efforts there. I don't really know who he is. You know, I have my suspicions. People claim they are Commander X, who may or may not be, but I'm certainly appreciative of that, and I certainly hope stuff like that continues into the future. And it certainly helped raise awareness about these unjust and illegal laws limiting and restricting the ability to feed people on the outside. These are our American friends and family and people that have immigrated here for the purpose of seeking work, and they deserve food. And so I think what we're doing is we are providing a major forum for conversation and dialogue to change society so that no one has to live on the streets and no one has to seek food at a soup kitchen.
Okay. I want to thank Jan for her call to KSCO 479-1080. A line or two has been opened up. Finally, we're getting to Paul in Santa Cruz, the small downtown business owner.
He doesn't own Forever
21? As opposed to a downtown small business owner. Which is it, Paul?
Well, we are a small business located... just south of downtown.
So Jason wasn't referring to your personal stature.
I don't think anyone consider my personal stature particularly small. No.
Or your ideas are not small.
Okay, good. So it's a small... Jason, I might suggest interchanging a couple of words here. It should be possibly downtown small business owner. instead of small downtown business owner.
Okay. Very good. We got that clear.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
Well, you know, all this philosophical discussion about feeding the birds and this and that is all well and good, but we have, you know, to deal with a practical issue on the ground here in Santa Cruz. Now, I own a laundromat. I serve the homeless people. I employ homeless people. I have more interaction with homeless people than I guarantee probably anybody that's called in or been here except for Kevin there. And I can tell you he's spot on a lot of things. The homeless situation in Santa Cruz has shifted. Now, I've been down here 17 years from being what I would call the gutter punk homeless in the late 90s and 2000s who were transients primarily to people now that are really second, third generation that can't make it here, that haven't been able to make it here and that end up on the streets. And that is generally what I see is then leading to their demise. I mean, literally, then it's the drug use. And I see it all the time. People that have homes, they become homeless. Suddenly the drugs take over. And then they are literally the bad homeless that everyone talks about. And in many cases, I mean, frankly, they are the bad homeless. And I deal with both types. And really what it comes down to is there's a certain segment of the population that holds on to their dignity. They remember, you know, that they want out of that situation. And then there's a certain segment that gives up. And that just kind of in general, you know, what I see. It's mostly 80% are the ones that are trying to get out. And I can tell you, quite frankly, the city is their worst enemy. The sleeping ban, the stupidest thing ever. I mean, the city wastes everybody's resources and time by, they hired, 27 park rangers to chase the homeless people out of the public parks, which in every other city I've ever been to, which is many across the world, is where the homeless live. Because it's the public space that many of them have probably paid for most of their lives. That is where they should be safe, and that is where they should be centralized so they can provide services. Chasing them out into the neighborhoods is insane. Because what does it do? Listen to all these angry people out there that are having to deal with homeless sleeping in their yards, sleeping on their porch, going to the bathroom in their backyards. I mean, it's the most ridiculous way to handle the problem I can even imagine. I don't know who thought of it, but they should be run out of town.
And the sleeping ban should be repealed, right? The sleeping ban
doubles the resources. Think about it. They hired 20.
Now, did you answer my question? Paul,
what's that?
Should the sleeping ban be repealed?
100%. Dumbest thing ever.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a waste of everybody's money and resources. Because
they take them
into the private sector, and then we call the police because we don't want them on our parking lots. We don't want them using the restroom when there's no restroom. Another issue that Santa Cruz could deal with it very easily, the hepatitis thing, restrooms and hand washing stations.
Yeah.
This is simple.
Yeah,
spend $10,000, bring in 100 porta potties around town. Hepatitis problem will go away.
Absolutely. Simple. That's exactly
right. Well, thank you for your call.
This is not rocket science.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for your call, Paul.
They need a tent on Ocean Street right behind City Hall so those people can look at that problem every day. They can house 500 people on that lawn every single night. They could come in. They could be on work crews every day. They would do it because I know these people. They would do it. Give them a roof over their head. They'll work 3 hours a day for it. They go out and look for a job. The storage thing, dead on. They can't work when they don't have a place to put their stuff. Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. Good subject. Good topic.
Kevin, who's Kevin?
I'm Keith. Yeah, people often
Keith,
confuse.
I'm sorry.
No problem, Paul. But it's that's such a beautiful call. It's
for
so,
a minute, someone I thought there was someone else in the studio that I couldn't see.
So one thing,
I'm
Paul.
No problem.
One thing that Paul's pointing out is the park ranger thing is really crazy, the amount of money. I don't know what that budget will be, but we know from City Council's report on homelessness that the police department spent $14.8 million in each of the past several years, mostly on dealing with homeless people downtown. $14.8 million. That money could easily have gone to providing some solutions. And that's year after year. It's in the millions of dollars. One in two arrests are people who have either Coral Street, the Homeless Service Center's address is their address, or have no address at all. One in two arrests in Santa Cruz. And so we're like, instead of housing them in a house or providing a place to sleep, we are taking them back and forth into the jails and paying literally millions and millions of dollars to do that. And I don't know how many, you know, a studio apartment here is costing.
That's just the police department.
That's just the police.
It's the police department, not the courts or anything.
Not the courts. Not the, like you say, where they've now
a lot of waste going on.
Made the park rangers patrol all these areas. You know, it's crazy.
The worst way to handle the problem is they've turned their back on it. They've turned it into the, you know, really to the public, saying, hey, you deal with these people because we don't want them in our parks. We don't want to see them. But we're not going to do anything to deal with them at all.
Right.
So they're just going to rerun through the system. They're going to cost everybody money, and everybody's angry about it. And I'll tell you what, most of them would transition to work given the opportunity, and I've given many the opportunity, so I know. I don't hit them all, but I hit a lot of them, and they end up transitioning to work. They get a job. They get a car so they can live in the car. So they're moving up from the streets. But that's how we have to treat each individual case.
Which, by the way, is also
illegal.
The
relocation that was brought up earlier to other parts of the country, that's a great idea.
It shouldn't be illegal to live in a car. That's not right.
Absolutely not. You know, again,
but Jason says it is.
All it does
is he knows.
It pushes the problem into the private sector, into people's houses, and it makes it 100 times worse. I mean, I don't know who is looking at this in the city council, but it's the worst policy I experience a day every single day.
Paul, thanks for calling, and thanks for waiting as long as you did.
You got it. No problem.
Okay,
yeah,
here's our next caller, Colonel Terry, and I know exactly what Colonel Terry is going to say.
What do you think?
Okay, well, first you're going to compliment Keith McHenry and his caring efforts for many years, for many others. Then you're also going to talk about illegal immigrants and sanctuary city stupidity, which is brought into our community overpopulation that competes for housing resources and denies some housing to our local homeless population. Then you're going to talk about UCSC falsely promised to provide adequate on-campus housing for all its students in the 1960s and 1970s. And then UCSC has continuously wrongly broken its commitment for the past 30 years. You're also going to say that too many UCSC students take private rental housing opportunities away from other people, including the homeless, public school teachers, firemen, and hardworking others. You're also going to talk about Santa Cruz City Council and County Board of Supervisors, and they should get some backbone and some gonads. That means balls, for those of you who don't know what gonads means. And pass resolutions demanding that UCSC cannot add another student until itself provides enough student housing and provides new water resources for the entire campus common community population. So am I right that that's what you were going to talk
that's
about?
That's a list.
Yeah, well, yes. In addition, Keith, again, I compliment you highly. I am simpatico with Food to Bomb's mission. However, there's greater waste and misspending of government money, federal resources, by the Agriculture Department and foreign aid, which is totally profligate. The Defense Department and the military has an ethos far higher than, in my observation, the civilian agencies at stewardship court towards what really is necessary for their mission.
And corporate welfare.
But I agree. And again, we could take the foreign aid money that's wasted. We could take the tax money that General Electric and others don't pay a dime in federal taxes, and we could use that to provide homeless resources as well.
Absolutely. And you know, one of the things I found really upsetting is the Walton family are the largest recipients of aid. And, for example, they save at least $3 billion a year in wages by sending their employees to receive food stamps. McDonald's is similar in the billions. Wells Fargo, right here in Santa Cruz, a person that I went to the speak with at his desk goes, oh, Food Not Bombs, you feed me. I get food stamps. I'm homeless. They don't pay me enough to sit at this desk in the Wells Fargo branch office to rent an apartment. Wells Fargo, Chase Manhattan, these big banks are also huge welfare cheats in that they don't pay their employees enough and urge them to collect subsidies through our taxpayers. So, and then you're right, you know, many transnational corporations that base themselves in the United States pay virtually no taxes to help out what's going on. So this is definitely a huge problem. And another thing that's very an interesting statistic is the people that pay the highest percentage of their income, of the money that they have, are the poorest people in the United States. And the homeless are tax-paying citizens. And because of their situation of having to pay sales tax and so on to get access to what little they get, even though they have virtually no money at all, their total percentage of tax burden is said to be the highest of any class of people in the country. So, we really have to look at a huge number of changes and educate ourselves about really where our resources are being spent and why we're having an ever in huge increased number of homeless people in every city. L.A. was a 29% increase in 12 months of people living on the streets. We're seeing that. And I suspect we're going to see a huge impact in the next 3-4 years of people becoming homeless in this country. And what we're seeing now is the crisis in Santa Cruz is going to seem sadly and nothing in comparison to maybe 2 years from now when we're on this station talking about why are there literally thousands of people living in our streets.
Lastly, I am outraged that the Santa Cruz County Police and their rangers are taking the private property of homeless people they dispossess and target, et cetera. That should stop immediately. I think MC would agree with me. Those people should be allowed to keep their property, and we should help them find a place for it. On the new library proposed for downtown, I have suggested that outside-facing toilets be made available so that the new library or renovated library building will not be overwhelmed inside with homeless seeking to use the restrooms. Would you agree with that approach? If we had a dozen or 16 outside toilets downtown that might include showers as well?
Absolutely. And I know from being immersed in this in downtown, I don't think people realize this, but it would be easy enough to take like the tens of thousands of dollars we're spending on First Alarm and have them monitor bathrooms. Many homeless people would appreciate that. And the other issue is that, people, if you have personal belongings and you try to go to the bathroom in this city and you leave them out in front of the toilet because you can't bring them in, and I think people don't understand why a lot of people on the streets have a lot of belongings, and often that's a mental health crisis that's developed since they became homeless of hoarding. But the thing is, you turn your back to go into the bathroom, you come out, you've lost everything because the rangers are seeing it as abandoned property. That's like outrageous. And so there needs to be like a way that somebody can get access to toilets.
We do have to move on.
But thanks so much for your calls. You have great insights.
Colonel Terry, thank you for calling 479-1080. As always, a very intelligent phone call.
Yes.
Okay, now we're going to, Ben in Santa Cruz, Kim in Santa Cruz, Paul in Felton, and Janet in Santa Cruz.
Wow.
And Capitola Gray. Holy Christmas, we have less than 15 minutes, so we're really going to have to crank up the pace here. But have you heard of one of our hosts named Georgia, Keith?
Yeah.
Okay. Georgia has written an email, and she is not happy.
She's not happy.
No. Well, I'm going to read the email. This is the way I read it. You might interpret it differently.
Right.
Okay. Your guest, Keith, is painting a very one-sided picture of this homeless problem. I would like to know how many on the streets are druggies, alcoholics, and people who have either come here or have been raised here to end up on the streets. Keith, the fact that you were homeless and are still caught up in the cause leads me to ask, what are you benefiting with your group? why didn't you get off the streets and get a real job years ago? Well, you did.
Yeah, I've had real jobs. I worked for Hallmark. Yeah. I was a marketing director of the Piano Technicians Guild. I've had many jobs.
And you've been entrepreneurial.
I owned a company for years. Yeah, I worked.
Was your ad agency purchased from J. Walter Thompson?
No. I funded that whole. No, it was not purchased by anybody. I shut it down and moved to San Francisco. Just thought I'd try doing a different kind of business in San Francisco.
Let's continue
which was
with
successful.
George's email here. If those you describe are really people who helped build Santa Cruz, why didn't they move to an area they can afford? Why stay in one of the most expensive areas and then expect people to feel sorry for you and take care of you? I personally, as a woman, resent that I don't feel safe on the streets in Santa Cruz. In Athens, Greece, there are 5 million people, 2 million unemployed, not one homeless person on the street. Why? Because they have family values. They take care of their own. If you want to fix this problem, get rid of your Marxist politicians who have done everything to destroy families and to keep people dependent on the government. And that's signed Georgia.
Georgia. Well, I think that I think there is something to the issue of families in the United States, because when I've toured Mexico and speak there often, and the poverty is huge in Mexico, but it's true. Families really do help one another. But there's I think the attitude of being against the homeless downtown and the kind of the campaign to, you know, get rid of homeless people and so on, plays an important part, because you find families also, you know, it's just sort of this dehumanization aspect. And
Ronald,
I think that needs
Perrigo,
not to happen.
Ronald Perrigo Jr. has sent an email. He also is not happy. It's about Paul's comments. MZ, porta potties around town would last about 10 minutes. I call BS on his comments. Ron from Santa Cruz.
Well, the thing is that I think we see that the Locust Street and the Soquel Street toilets, they are maintained. There's not really an issue with them. And the issue, and a lot of people on the streets complain about this, and I agree with the last George's email too. I mean, a lot, you know, I get robbed directly by people who are smoking meth. You know, that's, I'm not like advocating everyone get on meth, except for I did advocate the fact that if you wanted to avoid being arrested breaking the sleeping ban, it might be wise for the city to hand out meth so that people could stay awake from 11 to night to 8:30 in the morning.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, but I mean, that's like the kind of screwed up attitude that the city has. And you go, you know, I've been all over the world in my visiting of Food Not Bombs people, and you see that they're public. You know, many, many parts of the world have public restrooms, and they have you go to them, there's a person sitting there.
And they do last longer than 10 minutes.
Yeah. And they there's usually a person monitoring them, and people are paid to do that, and you can go anywhere in the world.
I promise we get to everybody who's online. Of course, one or two people have called since then, but okay, I think what we're going to have to do in order for me to keep my promise is to just take the next caller here. Kim in Santa Cruz, a social worker, post office. Go ahead, Kim, real quick. Kim. Oh, sorry. I didn't have
the... Can you
hear
me?
Yeah, now
we
can.
Yeah, we didn't have the slide up.
My bad here. Here, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to try to be concise here because I know we're running out of time.
We sure are.
So I get it. I'm a social worker, retired social worker now, been here forever. Most of my family has left because they couldn't afford to live here anymore, and... they don't expect the government to support them. They moved. My son laid a lot of concrete in this town. Keith had mentioned if you help build the town, I guess you should deserve to live here for free or something to that effect.
No, not for free, but you should be allowed to live here.
Hang on. But he moved on to King City, where rent is half as much. The post office has been a huge encampment. I noticed it increasing, as we all have, especially since the feedings and the rats and now Hep A. And we've actually passed up San Diego per capita. And I'm glad that the folks are moving on. And but what I'm, you know, and I think many callers or many listeners might know that Keith is a self-proclaimed anarchist.
Yes, I am.
We're seeing a different side of you on the radio, and I've
no. This is exactly the side of an anarchist. Yeah,
it's my turn.
Yeah,
I've watched you bully grandmas at the post office. I mean, at the courthouse, and it's interesting to see that you're anti-government when it comes to your legal issues and when it comes to abiding by the laws, but you're pro-government when you want free housing for everyone and for yourself or whatnot. But how can the most expensive place in the United States afford to give out? And this is me as a social worker and someone who did the homeless count and who's lived here, and I pay 75% of my income to housing. How can we afford to house thousands of people when our real estate is just through the roof? I mean, it's just, we can't give out free housing or $300 a month housing. I mean, I appreciate all your history, but let's say someone makes $900 a month on SSI, and for them to pay, say, maximum $300 a month, it's impossible.
Well, this is exactly the problem.
So I don't think an anarchist and a tired old doctor at public health or Ryan Coonerty are going to fix this. We need to bring in someone like Dr. Marbut, who's a private consultant.
I love that you have brought in the idea of Dr. Marbut, and I think that people here should definitely feel free to stop by the post office and talk to me about Dr. Marbut's history.
Oh, and one of his premises is to not hand out food on the street corners, and also if you look to places like Loaves and Fishes, which we loved programs like that as social workers because we could go in and sit down with our folks. They had facilities. They were treated with dignity and respect. They weren't, you know, serving them on the sidewalk. They weren't giving them diseases. You know, they didn't, you know, their food was prepared properly. So I know I'm talking fast.
Yeah, and we have to go.
To move thank
on.
You very much for your
it's
talk.
It's nothing personal. You understand.
Yeah. We that have was to move beautiful. On to thanks so much.
Paul in Felton about a TED Talk regarding homeless. Go ahead, Paul.
Paul. Hello, MZ.
Oh, hi, Paul.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got to move fast, though. Go.
Okay. I saw a while back a TED Talk from a gentleman called Richard Berry from Albuquerque.
Oh.
And he had some solutions on what they are doing for the homeless. And it involves helping them get jobs, food, a place to stay, and counseling.
Yeah, that's a they have some good programs in Albuquerque surrounding the issue of homeless. And then there was a person that was arrested for feeding the homeless outside there, and he was awarded thousands of dollars because it was a false arrest. But you're right. That TED Talk does talk about some really
So what do you Google to bring it up?
Yeah,
if you type in homeless, or if you type in Richard Berry.
Richard Berry on TED Talk's website.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Paul. Thanks for contributing. Appreciate it. Next caller is Janet in Santa Cruz about mental health. Go on, Janet. You're on.
Well, first of all, where to begin, but I'm going to try to stick to my subject here because I really know you're real short. Okay, so I would like to see this topic handled every 2 or 3 months, talked about on KSDL.
Okay.
Mental health, I would like to hear your guest thoughts on mental health. I wasn't in California when the mental institutions were closed. I get the impression that it's probably a good thing because there was abuse. And I kind of like seeing mental health. I'm mental patients, people with mental issues, and so I don't know how that works. On the street, it acclimates the general public to them as people. The way our federal government is handling the mental issues, from what I hear, is by drugs. And so your guest seems to have a lot of exposure to it. I'd like to hear what his opinion is about the whole issue.
Yeah, well, quickly I will point out that it was John F. Kennedy that deinstitutionalized the homeless, the people from mental hospitals because of his sister's experience in a mental hospital in Massachusetts, and that policy was never followed up in after his assassination, where there's supposed to be funding for mental health, residential mental health facilities. And Reagan gets the blame for that, but it's really inaccurate. It was a really positive thing. I do appreciate, I think a lot of people living on the streets are not wanting to take psychological drugs because they can be really disturbing to take, although for many they're helpful. Now, my brother lived on the streets for 25 years with his wife. Both of them had severe mental health issues, but they're both beautiful people. And my brother wasn't diagnosed until after he became seriously ill and was fortunate enough to meet a social worker in a hospital in Hyannis and get help. I think it's the stigma and the fear and the hatred of people with mental health issues is really, really sad. And I have come to have long, deep, and amazing conversations with many people struggling with a whole variety of mental health issues, and they are to be respected and so supported, and there should be like transitional housing or places for people like that, as was originally proposed in Kennedy's legislation before his assassination.
Okay.
I have one more comment if I can get in real quick.
Real quick.
There's going to be more homeless on the street. I'm of a retirement age, and I heard from the woman, now I forget her name, that has the money show on Thursday night.
Pamela Fugit-Hedrick.
I would have never heard this any place else because I don't do research. And if I understood her right, the government passed a law that people who were born after a certain year, I think it's 1952 or something, will not receive their spouse's Social Security money. So those females of us that put our time in with our husbands and our children are going to be joining the street people.
Yeah, I think that we are going to see, sadly, a giant increase in homelessness in the United States and in Santa Cruz. And the purpose of food not bombs being out there.
The Trump administration needs to know about this.
Yeah, there needs to be a massive. There's many, many policies.
We do have to move on. We want to thank you, Janet, for your call. Our last caller today will be Capitola Gray in Aptos, who is an expert in homelessness. Gray. Capitola Gray.
Uh oh. He became too much of an expert and lost his phone.
Well, it says that he's on.
Can you hear me?
Now we can. Where were you? Were you in the can or something?
No, it's a Apple phone.
That explains
you
everything.
You should go to Android. That's up with you.
Okay, you're on now. Go ahead. We don't have much time. Less than a minute.
I listen to the whole thing all over again because this is the best show that you've ever had during this time period on Saturday. There's a lot of ignorance out there. Somebody made a comment. I won't mention names. About why don't you get another job? And I was just thinking about the people that believe in Jesus. Well, he stuck with the same work, and he didn't have a house. They shouldn't be looked down upon. It's just like some of these churches. There's one church that a lot of people won't tell you about. It's on State Park Drive across the freeway from Safeway, and they let people take showers on Saturdays.
Wow. That's beautiful. Really that's great.
Really respectful. But a lot of people think that it's just people on Reagan let everybody out, like we were talking about it once again, and that there's a lot of people on drugs, and that's not true.
Correct.
I've been, there were so many things I wanted to say, but the food not bombs thing, I say leave people alone. If they're a millionaire, leave them alone, and if they're poor, leave them alone. Instead, they want to kick them out of their motorhome.
Yeah.
I got approached. My one main thing I wanted to say today, too. 2 days ago, I was cleaning out a car by a church where we had it stored. Somebody had used it and abused it, drugs or alcohol bottles there. And what ended up happening is, this was daylight, and I was behind in a vehicle calling DMV, yada, yada, yada. But the main thing I have a problem with is when the officers feel like they can